Welcome to the Six Figure Business Mastery Podcast, where every week, Kirsten and Jeannie dive into the essential topics to fuel your business growth. From copywriting to course creation, mindset to video marketing, they've got you covered. Tune in for expert guest interviews on all things marketing and business, and learn how to work on your business, not just in it. So, get ready to unlock your business potential and take it to the next level.
What if the traffic you already have could bring twice the results? Wouldn't that be great? I'm excited to introduce you to our next guest. Her name is Kimberly Whitecamp. Her company is called The Audience Converter. And today we're going to talk about conversions and marketing, one of my favorite topics. So welcome to the show, Kimberly. It's lovely to have you.
Thank you so much for having me here. I'm super excited because I love geeking out about marketing and conversions. So I'm super stoked.
We're excited to have you here. Kimberly and I met at the Soulful Leadership Retreat back in February. And she's bubbly and we totally hit it off. And so we've been really looking forward to this interview with you. And I always like to figure out, like, Kimberly, what got you so excited in helping people with segmenting their list and tracking data and all the stuff most business owners don't want to do? How did you get so excited about that?
Oh, that is an excellent question. So my 60-second introduction to the world of direct response copy started when I was teaching English in Spain. And I don't like children. I didn't last very long. And I was not sure what I was going to do next with my life. And my mother sent me an email and it said job opportunity, not spam. So I was like, okay, I'm intrigued. And it was actually for a course on travel writing. So I was living abroad at the time and I finished in a weekend and I got published in 30 days and realized, oh, travel writing's fun, but it doesn't pay well. So from there, I was actually introduced to the world of direct response copy. And I got a course, got certified, and launched my business and never looked back. And I realized pretty quickly when working with clients that they knew they wanted copy, but they had no idea why or what or where or when or how they need the copy to work. So I got into adding the strategy side and found it actually was a lot more fun. So now I get to geek out around strategy and how it all connects and how to make sure that the copy you're investing time and energy in actually works for you.
I love that. And it all comes down to tracking their numbers. And I'm so excited to learn more about this. We track our numbers, but probably not the way you track your numbers, but probably not doing nearly as good a job. So what do you recommend for people when they're thinking about tracking all their data and what's important?
Yeah, so I find one of the biggest challenges for most people is just knowing where to look first and then having a clear understanding of what good looks like. When we talk about tracking your numbers or conversions, ultimately, everything needs to lead back to one goal, which is, did it make me money? So I find a lot of us can fall down rabbit holes when it comes to, did it get enough views? Did it get enough impressions? Did it get more of this? Did it get more of that? And the one metric that really matters is, did it ultimately lead to a client? So some of the things to really keep in mind are traffic versus signups. So that would be your conversion on a landing page, right? Most people will say something to me like, my lead magnet's not converting. And then I'll ask, okay, do you know how many people even got to the page? And they'll be like, oh, I have no idea. I posted it on social media. It's like, that's a starting point, right? So that's the first thing to look at is, what kind of traffic am I getting versus how many people from that traffic are saying yes.
What are some of the best ways to drive traffic to their landing page? What do you usually recommend for people?
So it depends on who your audience is, where they're at, how they interact with the world. I'm a fan of not one size fits all, but also a mix. So I don't tell people, oh, you should absolutely post on LinkedIn, for example, because while your audience may be on LinkedIn, they're probably in other places as well. And it's not too much effort nowadays to make sure that you're sharing your message in more than one location. I'm also not a fan, though, of being like everywhere all at once, because that's a little bit too overwhelming. How do you drive traffic? I think you're already doing. See if you can add a traffic component. Are you appearing on a podcast? Add a lead magnet. Are you appearing on a stage? Have a lead magnet. Are you going to networking events? Ask people if they want a free resource and then direct them to your landing page. If you're already active on a particular social media channel like Instagram or YouTube, then explore adding that link to some of your posts. Start where you are and start where your people are and make sure that it becomes another part of your routines, like habit stacking, right? You don't necessarily need to add a new channel to make your life miserable. But if you're already in a place, are you truly taking full advantage of it?
Yeah, I love that. Did we talk about what would be like a good percentage of conversion from somebody who lands on your lead magnet and somebody who actually signs up for it?
Yeah, that's a great question. So these numbers have been changing quite a lot frequently. And I think there's a couple of factors. Number one is AI. And number two is now more than ever, people are really looking for the thing they really want. And they're aware, right? If they say yes, they're going to hear from you, which is a good, bad thing, right? If they say yes, it means they are expecting to hear from you. But they're also a lot more reluctant to say yes to signing up to a list because they know they're going to hear from you. So that number, that like golden standard, has actually now fallen to about 18 to 30%. So if your landing page is converting at 18 to 30%, you're in a good place. That being said, there are ways you can maximize it. So most of my landing pages convert anywhere between 50 and 80%. I, in fact, just participated in one of my favorite ways to drive a ton of traffic at once, which is a bundle or giveaway. And that page converted at about 78%.
I guess that's a testament to the type of work that you do. I also think this is true for Jeannie and I. If something's not converting, and all of a sudden you want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, or you want to change everything. You talk a lot about how small tweaks can make big differences, but I feel like a lot of us entrepreneurs aren't about small tweaks. We're about bulldozing, right? So how do you explain that to business owners?
Yeah, so there's a couple of ways to interpret that small tweak idea. Number one is the core of most marketing dating back to Ogilvy is A/B testing, right? And most people just aren't doing it. They assume that, oh, I created something, it's not working, I need to redo the whole thing. Whereas the biggest metric movers are actually your headline and your call to action. So before throwing out all of your copy, do an A/B test. Almost every single method you're going to use to host a landing page nowadays will let you A/B test. Now, the rule with A/B testing is test one thing at once, right? So test just the headline, or test just the image, or test just the CTA. That's call to action, right? Another method now that's available to a lot of people that they don't necessarily know about is beyond A/B testing. And that is using a tool to personalize the copy people see on your website based off of where they're at in your client journey. So that goes into deeper segmentation. It goes into deeper knowledge about the messaging. But really ask yourself, is there a segment of your audience that you think would be a great fit for what you want to promote? And then do an A/B test just to that segment of your audience. You'll see a huge difference maker because it's not everyone, it's for the segment that's really interested.
Yeah, I love so much of what you do because it is segmentation and people don't want to spend the time on that because it's time consuming. It's the same thing with A/B testing. They don't want to bother because then now I got to think about two different types of headlines and I don't know what the difference is between the two and so much more. So it's so wonderful that people like you like to do all those kind of things.
I find those kinds of things fun. And I love going into the numbers and being like, ooh, what worked? What didn't? Because everything's a test. And also in my free time, I love putting puzzles together, right? So it's the same type of thing. Where's the missing piece? What's the puzzle? What's the big picture? What little pieces of the big picture do I need to put together to make the big picture? That kind of thing. So when we talk about small tweaks, this is what also goes into even raising your open rate, right? So we've talked a little bit about landing pages and your lead magnet, how to get more people onto your list, but you're messaging to people who've already said yes to hearing from you. And open rates have fallen quite a lot here recently as well for a lot of people. So one of the first questions I'll get from people is, how do I raise my open rate? And so one thing you can do is any email you feel is super important for your list, right? Don't do this for every single thing, but send your email and then resend with a new subject line to anyone who didn't open it and see if that makes a difference. Now, the subject line should not be the same theme, right? So come at it from a different angle, come at it from a different idea, test a different curiosity point. But again, you're not rewriting anything but the subject line. And your system is built to be able to...
Okay, quick pause. This episode is sponsored by our Profit Clarity Masterclass. If you've been avoiding your finances and quietly hoping it won't catch up with you, we want you to hear this. You're not failing. This is incredibly common for most business owners. Most people don't avoid money because they don't care. They avoid it because it feels heavy, confusing, or stressful. In our free live masterclass, we're going to show you a clear, more supportive way to handle your finances so your business can actually support your life. You can learn more and save your seat at lessmathmoremoney.com. We look forward to seeing you there.
Resend to unopens really easily. So that's another small tweak, right? Doesn't take a ton of time. It's 30 seconds, maybe a minute, especially if you think about the subject line two options before you send the first one in the first place. But that's a huge way that one little small test could make a big difference for you.
Kimberly, I do want to speak to the fact that you keep talking about how easy it is with software. For those of you who have been in the online space for a long time, you know exactly what she's talking about. But if you're newer to the space, the tools and everything that we have right now are so amazing. They make the work that would have taken basically a team member to do 15 years ago is basically done within your technology. So I think that just knowing how liberating that is should really inspire people to take the time to use that great technology that's built in that once wasn't built in.
Absolutely. My first website, okay, I went to China on a semester abroad and my family was like, we want to know what you're up to. So I was like, okay. So I started a blog on WordPress and actually ended up writing 150 pages over the course of the time being there about my experiences, right? So that was my first experience with maintaining a website. And the leaps and bounds and so much easier it is. I remember when I first got started, how difficult it was to build a landing page. And now it's so much easier, right? It's so much easier. So yes, software can help. Most of the software anyone is using, if they've got a website, a landing page builder, and an email system, it's got those choices and features built in. But you do want to make sure you know what you're doing, right? So go check out the Help Center. Go ask somebody for help or sit down with a coach or somebody who knows the stuff to give you a starting point. You don't have to know code to be able to do this anymore. And it doesn't have to be nearly as difficult, I think, as many of us make it. So just ask yourself, what's one thing I could test today? And go from there.
Yeah, I got involved in websites and things long before there was any coding. You were self-coding it all in HTML or in Dreamweaver. We've come a long way. I'm dating myself now.
I learned HTML and decided it was way too much effort, so I would keep using the GUI interface on WordPress. But
this was before WordPress.
Oh, I believe you.
Oh my gosh.
In fact, WordPress came out. I actually wrote my own theme because I thought it was the coolest platform ever. And I followed a bunch of YouTube videos that taught me how to write and create my own theme, which was really cool and really exhausting. And then once you factored in how many changes and updates to the platform, I thought, no, I think I'll just borrow someone else's or buy some.
And that's it's a great example what you just gave, right? Because you mentioned a platform that's only about 20 years old, and right. That's YouTube. Many people do not realize how new so many of these marketing channels are. And so every time someone's, oh my gosh, it's changing again. What used to work didn't. I was like, do you know how little time people have been able to even use an ad on Facebook? Think about it in terms of the bigger picture of marketing. Things are getting easier for your average business owner all the time.
Yeah. And I think for those of you who are listening, who don't necessarily enjoy the numbers. You're not like Jeannie building little Lego villages on the weekend, or you're not like Kimberly putting together difficult puzzles. Maybe find an accountability partner, somebody that you meet with every Friday and you start tracking your numbers together. Find a way that you can really start to do it, make it a little less stressful or painful, so to speak. And sometimes I think having an accountability partner can help with that. So then you're reviewing each other's information and you're just kind of making it fun, because the information that you're going to review is so important. Like, it's beyond important. It's really what separates the people who are successful to those that just survive. And so, Kimberly, what other advice do you have for people?
So I'm going to tell everyone a question they need to ask themselves. And it's great because you're listening to this right now, so you don't actually have to admit this to anybody else. But this is a question I ask in my workshops all the time. And that is, when was the last time you made an offer to your list? So you will miss 100% of the shots you don't take, right? There's a sports metaphor for those people who enjoy sports. And essentially, I talk to so many people who are like, yeah, my emails just aren't working anymore. I'm not getting conversions. But when I ask them, okay, so what were the last offers you made to your list? Do you know how they performed? They're like, what? So Here's the thing. Yes, you can have your big launches, you can have your bigger items that take a huge drawn out thing, but I'm also a huge fan of when you give your value and your nurture and your content to your list. P.S., here's three ways I can help you. And make an offer. Because what we don't remember and what we're not aware of is so many people on our list, they don't know what the next step is. They don't know what your offers are unless you tell them. So if you only do a promotion once a year, they could be on your list for 9 months before finding out how to hire you or even what hiring you looks like. If you're doing marketing, make sure you're making offers.
Could that offer be to a lead magnet? So let's say you have a list, but you're rolling out a new offer. Could you just have your list sign up for that new lead magnet so you could find out what the interest is and segment them?
Absolutely. I am a huge fan of giving all kinds of resources. So just because somebody came in for one lead magnet doesn't mean they're not interested in what else you have to offer. And it's actually a great way to build trust because it shows you're not a one-trick pony, right? It shows that more than just the one thing they came in on, but it's also helping them because they're going to have more questions, right? So if they're not ready yet, or if they need more information, here's another resource for you. Do you want to go check it out? Do you want to go look at it? So just because somebody's on your list doesn't mean they can't benefit from a lead magnet. In fact, I think they might even perform better because if they're already on your list and they already know you, they're actually more likely to consume that lead magnet than just to sign up for it and never open it.
Yeah. So like you, we use high level and I love seeing how many people come in on more than one lead magnet. So they're not necessarily going to book a call or maybe even go to a free masterclass, but they may sign up for another lead magnet here or there. And so that it's just allowing them to see, in my opinion, if we're giving them good free value, like if we're giving them tools that are really valuable for no cost, I think we're setting the stage for what it would look like to work with us. And it makes them more comfortable to move to that next stage of coming to a live masterclass or jumping on a call. Do you find that to be the case as well?
Yeah, I always look at marketing as a small taste of what it's like to work with you. Right. So your marketing should be giving your value. It should also be very clear on what your personal and business values are. Right. It's not just about giving information, but what can I expect if I'm going to work with this person, if I'm going to hear from this person? And again, we're bombarded with information nowadays. So it's going to take more information. So the old numbers I used to hear when I first got started in business was it took 7 to 12 touch points for somebody to be ready to make a sale. And most people stopped at touch point number 2 or something, right? So now that number has risen 15 to 30 if we're talking about an online presence because they're not meeting us in person, being bombarded with other information. But that 15 to 30 touch points actually gets achieved really quickly if you're regularly posting on social media or if you've got a podcast or if you're doing a lot of podcast interviews or if they're on your list and you email them 3 times a week. After 7 weeks, you've hit 21, right? So that's something we have to remember is that it's actually easier than we think to get those touch points, but we want to make sure those touch points are valuable and showcase why we're a good choice to work with.
Yeah, it's so amazing. Awesome. We have a program where our VAs get clients booked on podcasts, and my VA booked me on 43 last year. What was so interesting was the year before, we'd have people book with cold outreach, maybe on the second or third follow-up. And now it's more like the fifth or sixth follow-up.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
There's more and more people reaching out to be on podcasts. And I also find that messaging has to be more unique now than it did 2 years ago.
Absolutely. Messaging is key. And it's easier and more difficult now, right? Because easier since AI makes a lot of that research easier to do, but more difficult because people are expecting a more personalized message, which just goes back to the power of segmentation and personalization in your marketing and in your messaging anyway, because I've started calling it the Netflix experience, right? All of us have a personalized profile on our streaming option of choice. And now what a lot of the platforms have started to do is you get to the end and they just start playing something different. So you don't even make the choice. Oh yeah, I think I want to watch something different. They just start playing another show they think you'll be interested in. And it's the same thing in our inbox, right? We all have crowded inboxes, I find. So it's got to be super relevant to me. And I have to have a lot of trust in that person to decide if I want to open and interact with it. We have to think of it from both sides.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can we just dive a little bit into lead magnets? Do you find that there are certain ones that do better? I know that depends on your audience, but overall, is it a PDF? Is it a video? Is it a series of videos? What do you see?
So what I see is that we want to get clear on the purpose of a lead magnet. So the purpose of a lead magnet is to get someone on your list. So it's really the power of the title and how well does the landing page perform. So is your lead magnet enticing enough for people to say yes to getting onto your list? That's when you know if it works or not. I run workshops to help people craft this. A question I'll usually ask is, okay, who has asked for a lead magnet in the last 30 days? And almost everyone's hands will go up. And then I'll say, great, keep your hand up if you actually opened that lead magnet. And at least half the hands, usually more, go down. So do I find there's one particular one that's going to perform better or worse? I haven't actually done the research on that, mostly because the goal of a lead magnet is to get them on your list. And then your secondary goal is, do they then take the next call to action, right? So I actually talk about 7 conversion points for a lead magnet. Number one is where they found you in the first place. So if it's on social, if it's on a podcast, it's on a summit, was it enticing enough for them to say, I think I might want that? Did they then click? Did they then say yes on the landing page and give their information? Did they then go to their inbox and check for it? Then did they consume the lead magnet? And then finally, did they actually do what the lead magnet had them as the next step at the end, right? So I find people in general, we want something easy and quick. So as long as it's easy and quick, it's good, right? A chapter of your book, a 45-page PDF, it's not a good lead magnet because they're strangers, right? I'm not going to invest an hour of my time in somebody I've never met. I might give you 5 minutes. So make sure that whatever you create, it's fast, right? So I have people who've created meditations, who've created videos, who've created emails, who've created PDFs. The ultimate goal, is it quick? Is it easy? Is it actionable? Do I feel like I built the trust? And that's a longer tail conversion, right? You have to see, once people say yes to the lead magnet, do they then continue to interact as an engaged subscriber?
So awesome. Kimberly, how can people get in touch with you if they would like to have you help them segment their list and really improve their conversions?
Yes. So I'm on LinkedIn, Kimberly Whitecamp. Check the show notes for the spelling, folks. But it is me, right? No extra numbers or anything on the LinkedIn listing. And also, I have a fun lead magnet that you would love to check out. It's called the Revenue Leak Audit, Finding the Hidden Money in Your Funnel in 10 minutes, right? It's got to be fast. It's got to be easy. It's got to be actionable. So that is a quick training people can go through, actually delivered via email, for people who are wondering, what should I fix? What should I look at? Where do I need to be reviewing that kind of thing? And go.theaudienceconverter.com and contact@theaudienceconverter.com if you want to reach out and talk about a strategy session.
This has been fantastic, Kimberly. It's so important and becoming so much more important. So I know that our listeners are saying, oh yeah, I need to go and get that. Thank you so much for coming on and telling us and sharing all of this with us. I think we're going to have you back to get even more deep and detailed. So thank you so much for today.
Thank you for the invitation. It's been a lot of fun chatting with you ladies.
Thanks for listening to the Six Figure Business Mastery Podcast. If you enjoyed listening to this episode and you are ready to leverage video marketing on all online platforms, or maybe even start your own video podcast, then you need to check out the Done For You and Done With You program at themarketingvaadvantage.com. Take your business to the next level.